It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and
Justin Worsh.
Justin,
have fun, guys.
Thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode number, what are we,
325.
Wow. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, thekevinmiller.com. How are you?
I'm good. Jump and press the circle button, Justin.
Jump and press the circle button, Kevin. Yeah. Jump and press the circle button.
A-B.
So we got a lot we're going to talk about today on the show. Do you want to do Infamous 2 first?
Yeah.
Let's do it. You like that?
I love this plan.
So I am late. I'm a late adopter. Do they have a term for that?
Regular people. you're a norm.
I hate how simple that was, but it was awesome. Yes, I'm a late adopter to the Infamous 2, but I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. You're not that late. It's not like you bought it used. You bought it within
the
first
week. I finished L.A. Noire.
I was going to say, if you finished it, then you're ahead of the game.
No, I haven't finished it yet because I've been too busy being a father. Boo on that.
Yeah,
heads up, guys. If you're listening to the show and you do not have kids and you like to play video games, don't have children because they can
but do
really
listen
suck
to the Dads Are More Fun podcast.
Yeah, if you have children, check on head on over to Dads Are More Fun, and or now it's called the Dad Podcast.
Nice.
Actually.
Why'd you change the name?
Because we thought it was easier, and everybody that I talked to when they said, "Hey, I really like your Dad Podcast,"
there you go.
Never said Dads Are More Fun. Nobody ever mentioned that. Yeah, but on this show, they go, "Hey, I listen to the second funniest podcast."
Yeah, because it's memorable,
right? I like it.
Oh, there are words to this song.
Yeah, what's going on here?
This is a song from Infamous. I played
it. It's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great soundtrack. Let's get into it. It's got a great soundtrack, great look.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it sounds like I'm bagging on the look of Infamous at all because I feel like it was stylized.
You talking about the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's weird because it looks like it was a jump between PlayStation and PlayStation, you know, or PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3, and the first one was on PlayStation 2.
And
you know
I think that's because the dynamic lighting used in Infamous 2 was not there in Infamous 1. And you can see this in Sucker Punch. Like, the Sly series did the same thing.
Yeah.
The first Sly game, everything was in the dark, and the only light was coming from, lamps and stuff around, which is still cool. But then by the third one, I got the sense that the developers got tired of another night scene.
Yeah.
And so you could see, like, the sunsets.
So you're saying, in general, they made everything brighter.
Yeah, the whole game is much brighter.
Yeah, that I do see, yeah.
And I think they did it because, they changed Cole, the voice actor for Cole, from who it was before, which was much older and grittier. And now he's, like, he laughs at the word penal, and he's much mm-hmm. younger. And so I think that was part of the idea of, like, let's punch this up. Let's not make it such a downer. More filter, less Nirvana. I don't know if that works. If you're a rock fan.
You know what I like is that I think this would be fun. I was just thinking, I'm like, you know, this would have been a fun thing. If I didn't have this stupid kid,
yeah,
this would have been a
Which
fun
one?
Thing to try to get Nate Fox back in on.
Absolutely.
Is to kind of, now that it's out and there's more things we could share about it, we should contact. Do you think he would be open to that?
Absolutely.
All right.
And maybe
we should
can
contact
get him, tell
him again.
Us
so let's make all these speculative remarks.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the real deal homie feel
yeah.
from Mr. Nate Fox and all of his great baldness.
Start with, who do you think you are?
Yeah, what's
Start
up
there.
With you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think you're Cole?
Yeah. Is that the story? Is yeah. that why he's got a shaved head?
Yeah, exactly. When was it an Infamous one? There was a behind-the-scenes making where Nate talked about the conflict of, if I had superpowers like invisibility, would I do good with that, or would I sneak into the girls' bathroom and watch them?
Both.
And he said, these are
How
the things
How is one
that-
contradictory to the other? That's what I want to ask you, Mr. Nate Fox.
I'm not Nate.
How is it? I'm sorry?
I'm not Nate.
Oh, man, I should stop drinking
what is
in general.
That
Just
double
fluid.
Shot.
I know, I'm drinking coffee. Kids are tiring, kids. Kids are tiring. Your parents don't hate you. They're just tired. They're
and,
just
and tired. They hate you. Your parents hate you.
My parents hate me.
Yeah.
The ones who are the nerds, and I don't mean that as a derogatory term. I mean as a complimentary term. For a while, we were calling the audience as a collective
that was
the
before
nerd, the singular.
Now
nerd.
They're the player.
I like it. I like it. Player.
So, I'm very impressed with the story. How far into the game are you?
The beast is 1,032 miles
so
away
you're,
from
you're pretty
Lame
far.
Yes.
You have not gotten onto the second island.
Mm.
There's like two islands on the map. That's a no. the thing that I like about it, if... Okay, I'll...
And don't worry about spoilers if that helps.
I'll tell you this. Here's the thing, is that when I took a comedy writing class back in college, they said the thing you want to do is you create a character, especially in comedy, mm-hmm. and then you put them in a circumstances that really accentuate their comedy. So if you have someone that is a habitual watch thief, you put them in an antique roadshow where they just can't help themselves because it creates like an environment. So what do you do if it's not comedy but it's awesome action?
Yeah.
What do you do with the Electric Man? Where do you put him? Put him in a swamp. You put him in a flooded out New Orleans town where he can't step on the ground mm-hmm. because most of it's covered in water.
One of my favorite parts of the game so far, and I don't remember this from the first one, but it did make me giggle, was I accidentally was walking in a bird bath.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like killing me, but he was like, And I'm like, what? It's a foul. And I laughed unnecessarily out loud.
Right.
I shouldn't have felt that much joy from like getting hurt in a bird bath.
Well, I did notice that in this game, you don't get as hurt by touching. Like before, you touched the water, you were pretty much gone.
Although I still died one time in the. That was only initially. There was one time where I just hit the canal and I died. And then I remember doing it. I'm like, oh, you know how you have that. Visceral reaction to when you're about to die and you start
pressing
the button.
Because they do that great thing where it gets dark and everything is like starting to black out on you.
So I knew I had done a jump to, this was I think when I was fighting that creature that comes up from the ground for the first time. And I knew I was about to land in the canal and I'm like, oh, and I'm just pressing, I'm jumping, I'm pressing the X button. There is no circle involved. like trying to will him to fly.
To get out. And
like you can levitate, just push a little. If you could throw a grenade with your hands, you can't push a little harder with those electric thrusters. I mean, you can hover, you know what I mean? Like a flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Just give you a little, just get a little more into it, you know?
It's okay, you survived. You died and just rebooted like to the last checkpoint.
Right.
It's okay.
Well, in this situation, I fell in the water. Thinking I was dead, and then I jumped out.
Oh,
I had a rebirth.
Yeah, because that's the thing about you can survive it much better. I think mm-hmm. it's because they knew you were going to be around water so much more.
I'm so mad that I didn't. I kind of made that connection, but we were talking about on the Facebook what other cities would it be fun to play Cole in.
Yeah.
And one of my first ideas was like, Seattle. I want it to rain.
That's what I said.
Because I like that was one of my favorite parts of Gears of War. I think it was 2, where they had then the train yard, and it would have like acid rain would just fall in the middle of the multiplayer. I love that aspect. I love the environment. And like when they have the avalanche too, I love the idea of the environment being a part of the game.
Where
it's like, oh, shit just happened.
Yeah, and I could see them doing that. Somebody else suggested Vegas, and I was like, that's probably going to be it. That seems pretty good, unless they go to Tokyo or something.
How do you be good in Vegas?
You don't gamble. Huh? Karma opportunity, not gamble. more
That's
points.
Easy.
Man, just walking around in this game, I've got hero within the first 10 minutes. I didn't slap a stripper. This is incredible.
Slap a stripper. That's the thing that's it's so hard to resist.
That just
makes you slap her.
Yeah.
I just want to I want to be a disrespectful man so bad. That's what Vegas is.
That's all it is. That's all it is. I don't want a family. I want to go to Vegas. So within the reality of the game, I really like. I've lost the track of my thought. That's
all right.
I thought maybe I
could talk
pull
more
through.
About what I like. What I like is I definitely like the direction, the lighter tone of it. I like
you
the
do
ability.
Like that.
I do.
Because I feel like I'm missing. Like, I'm like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Infamous.
I think, and I don't like the idea of bagging on something when people are trying to improve it.
Oh, not at all.
It's not a bag at all, but I feel like at this point, I kind of miss the old Cole.
Yeah,
you know
I
mean?
Do too.
I'm not, but it's not a thing where like I don't feel that impassioned about it. Where I'm like, every time I play it, I'm like, ugh.
No,
but I did like that.
But he was more grounded. He was more real. I remember what I was going to say is that the levels that I hated in the first game, or not hated, but I was like, oh, here we go again. Where every time you upgraded power, and it was so clear, like you're going to go underground, you're going to go through this maze that has no relevance to the rest of the map, and then you do it. So they fixed that in the most brilliant. They did the exact opposite, which is now you fire the Tesla missiles. Into an area you've never been to before.
That is awesome, by the way.
And so the first, and then they put the little core blasts around, so you're like, you're knowing, okay, as soon as I fly over there, I'm going to grab these core blasts on the way. And you get these great moments. The first time when you fire a Tesla missile across the bridge to hit the other island, you're like, oh, crap, this is going to suck, because it's nothing but water with little
You see it.
You like see that there's just roofs over there, and that's all you're going to have to navigate around. You're like, and that feeling of that, seeing that missile go across, and it did the exact opposite from a very boring underground Super Mario World kind of feeling where nothing is relevant to everything matters now in this cinematic thing.
I wish I knew that if there was an expectation from, you know, like there, we talk about this a lot on the show where it's like you're a developer, there's these artsy guys, right, who want to create video games that are fun and visually appealing and all that stuff. And there has to be somebody in charge of the business. You know what I mean? It's the same thing as like a network executive in a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know? I wonder if there's a time frame that the network executive type person is saying, okay, the game needs to take at least this many hours.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I just feel like that's so annoying for me and so frustrating that I'm like, here's what I like. You know what I like? I like the story in the world that you created. And guess what? It's just like trimming down. I think a really good movie can be done in an hour and a half. Now, some people might look at Lord of the Rings and go, that was just enough movie to make it through 37 hours long. Yeah. And that's fine. I didn't hate those either. But you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's what I think is
that's
the
what
genius.
Those missions felt like was my point. Is going underground, I'm like, you're just trying to kill my time, and I don't appreciate
it. And it's not interesting. And I think that that's what the side missions, which is what the first game had as well, is what it's trying to accomplish. You could play the game without doing a single
side
mission.
It's a little harder because you use the side missions to get abilities,
right? You don't have
abilities
good,
and not abilities.
Or abilities. But you could do it if you want to blur through, or if you want to just skate by till you're strong enough and then you know you now don't have all the great powers. You could do it. Or not do all the missions or whatever. Me, I play it, especially in Infamous 2, it's not so systematic. The moment a side mission opens up, I clear them all out before moving on to the next.
I do too. I like that. Yeah. I like the aspect of... And because I think it's smart, because doing the side missions is what clears out the density of enemies in the area.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that aspect. I love... We talked about this off-air, is that I really also enjoy... the smoothness, and I think there's no hiccup of that underground stuff, and which always seemed hard and overly challenging because they did something similar,
very obvious.
Yeah,
why are the trash baggers under the city in these places where I can get to them?
Yeah,
like I believe when they're in the city running around shooting at people, holding people hostages, like I feel like I'm really interacting with the environment. It's just they just so happen to be underground as well. So it's a definite improvement by bringing them above.
It's funny because everybody kept talking about how on Facebook and even when we were doing our gaming Saturdays that they were talking about how addictive it is. Like
absolutely.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Yeah. It's so much fun. And I think what's funny is, too, is when I look back at when I played the first one, I remember thinking, okay, now I got to go back and play it as evil.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, oh, man, I hope there's a lot of difference.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think... that I can remember it being humongously different. I do remember liking the idea of now going back and doing these evil missions. I feel like my palate feels satisfied.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I got to do both. And
well, the issue that I have with it from a structural point, and I don't know how you can possibly fix this, is that you're either good or you're bad. So when you make the decisions, like if you want to, I never make a bad decision when I'm good and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because it gets you to the good faster, you get a trophy out of it, yada, yada, yada. But the downside is that you don't get to pick and choose from things. And so... if you make a bad decision when you're working down the good path, all you're doing is delaying your ability to get better power sooner. So it feel
like... it forces you into either play the game as completely good and then play the game as completely
exactly.
Good.
And maybe that's the point, is that they, for the casual gamer that just wants to go through and play it once, or maybe not even beat it, they just bought it and played it, then it works for them. And for us hardcore gamers, it works for us because it forces us to play it twice. Maybe it's more brilliant than I'm giving it credit for. But I wish that there was a way that you could pick and choose between the powers and it not be so detrimental to the course of the game.
See, and I think I like it because like that's one of the things that drives me nuts about Mass Effect, is that I like the either or.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But with Mass Effect, to me, it felt like too involved a game to go back and play it as Renegade. I'm always the heroic guy or champion, whatever the hell their term is.
Are you doing it as good or evil on Infamous 2?
Right now, I'm on good, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to play it as evil.
Good choice.
Like most
choice.
People.
I wish you had done evil and we could have compared notes.
I can stop now.
No. For this episode,
I'm
can
only,
you stop now. And
the
go?
Beast is only 1032 miles away from New Mieris.
Not even in Virginia.
I don't remember the name of the city. New Mieris.
New Mieris. Because have you done the mission where it recalls. You rebooted from your...
Yes.
So did you do the mission where they reference something you did in the first game?
Nope.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
What?
It's pretty great. There's a side mission where what you did in the first game affects what you get in the second in this game.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. You know what I really, speaking of the side missions too, is it couldn't have happened at a perfect time. It was late at night. I was playing. I was getting tired and I'm like, oh, I got to do these side missions and then I'll go to bed.
Yeah.
So I was playing a side mission. I'm like, all right, I hope they don't have this one where you got to blast like waves of guys coming at you. That always pisses me off. And then all it was, and I don't think this is a spoiler just because it's you don't know when it's going to happen, but all it is some chick says thank you and kisses you, and that's, then you finished it.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She says, thanks for saving my mother while she was, if it wasn't for you, my mother would have starved in Empire City.
Oh, I thought that was just a reference to the exposition of the beast and
no,
all that.
No, that's a reference to the very first decision you make in the first game. Glad we've had this.
I like it.
Now you like it.
I
did the exact same thing when I got to, I was like, I'm going to play one more mission and then be done. And that was my mission. I'm like, okay, I get to do the next story chapter then. Because that is not how I'm ending my evening.
And you know what I also like? I also like how intuitive they've made the controls of climbing.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we talked about this off the air or in another, but the only issues I have is the drop down now seems a little clunky.
No, we didn't talk about it on the air.
But it's almost weird because I don't know if it's too critical, but those are the only criticisms I have. Overall, I think it's a great game.
It's a phenomenal game.
Well worth the money. I think it's not worth waiting until like it's used, like some games are that you get, and
or waiting until the PS Network goes down again,
right?
And they give it away
and then
for
get
free.
Another one. I think that if you're a fan of the Infamous game, it's really I really liked it. I'm really into this weird superhero kick. Maybe it's because of my kid too, but. Yeah. Like
well,
I'm really
very popular
into the Green
right
Lantern movie. And
reminds me of science fiction in the late 70s.
Really? It's the thing?
It's what everybody wants. I mean,
it's
look
been
how many
that way for the past,
are.
Like, I want to say 4 years, though, because somebody, I heard somebody
say that.
Really,
it's since Spider-Man. Like, it's what we've been into.
Somebody said, like, 60% of, or something. They gave a number to it. It was Chris Hardwick.
40-40 bears are eaten by Americans.
Where he said the majority of the money was being spent towards, like, comic book movies and things that essentially supported nerd culture.
Yeah.
And that's when Chris Hardwick had decided, well, this is now that now there's a shift.
Yeah.
There's a shift where the money is being spent towards nerds.
Instead of sports or women,
you know what I mean? Moms, stay-at-home moms, that kind of thing. That it's nerds that you have to make happy. They're the ones that are spending money.
We're a culture of geeks.
I love it.
I
love it too.
Our children are going to be boring.
My point is that even with these little criticisms that I have, like I do really think it's a solid, solid game. A lot of fun to play. I really, really, really. Have I said that I like it?
Yes, you did a few times. I also like that they got rid of more of the grindy missions like you're describing, and they've just made things easier in general.
Seems smooth. That's the best way I could describe it.
Like the missions in the first one where you had to go around and blow up things on the building. From a story point, they were useless. Like they kept saying they put all these monitoring devices on our building. Who cares? Like that nothing ever came of that.
Yeah.
Why do I need to blow them off your building? But a bomb matters.
Run up and turn off that bomb.
Get a blast core. But I love that there's always a cop that's like, what is this?
Why is it beeping faster?
And I can't wait to play evil just to watch him go, if I touch the red wire.
I do also like the collateral damage, like, kaboom! Because the first time I was introduced to the idea, I did not know how to disarm that bomb.
Oh, really?
I think I shot it, maybe blew it off prematurely. Yeah. I was like, well, where's the thing that tells me what to do? And it was like, and it was up in the screen telling me in small print. And I didn't see it in time, and then everybody died.
Did you get a negative karma? I don't think so.
It may have happened, and then it didn't show because it doesn't show
put it
up
on
the
screen.
Mission.
If you make an evil decision or a good decision, every time you defuse a bomb, it says good karma made.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Maybe it gives you the first one for free because
I hope so.
You can't.
I'm almost a hero. I'm almost a champion or whatever the top rank is.
And like, then there's so many new powers.
I'm almost to fill that. Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
I don't like what was the first time I used the Ionic Vortex. It made me mad. Because it killed people.
That
and
was
I was
pretty...
like, listen, dummies, am I really not heroic when you're running into the big, gigantic... Let me explain something to you, artificial intelligent, extra people running through the infamous world. I'm fighting a monster that has the armored plating of 50,000 armadillos, and it's the size of a Volkswagen. what that means for you is to not run towards that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get out of the way.
Because I'm going to be doing a lot of crazy things with my hands. I'm shooting lightning bolts. You know, I'm going to need to suck power out of a telephone pole. Yep. The last thing I need to do is run into you and trip over your dumb ass because you're not where you're supposed to be.
Yep.
So heads up, because now we all know that if there's a super powered human being who is fighting a Volkswagen sized monster with the ability to instantly burrow and then later not affect the density of a street, by the way,
or a building that it burrows through.
Right,
it can come at through the building,
and
the
that's
roof.
that's not a bag on the developers. I'm not saying that. I don't want that.
Just a little cheat.
I don't want that.
Just a little cheat.
I don't want.
They would admit it. A good developer would say, "Yeah, well, what are we gonna do?"
Really, a good developer, you have to create a completely realistic world in this. All right,
I'm just
whatever.
Saying.
I'm not.
If I were the developer, I'd be like, "I wish we could do something about that." You notice Cole never goes inside anything. He never walks inside anything. As a developer, I'd be like, maybe he can walk inside something.
He gets inside our hearts and minds.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's our electric. Hearts, and that we root for him and we pull for him. Even if he's making bad decisions, you know, we're always going, you know what, if you just around this next just corner, you could clean up your life, you junkie.
Well, that's what I like about it. If you boot up from the previous, you take your good mission and you continue on, people can barely get hurt now. So, like, I worry very little about collateral damage from humans because you knock them down, they pretty much always get right up and they're like, they just dust themselves off and just keep going.
I think that's interesting that I can completely run into somebody and that doesn't affect karma at all.
Not at all.
But if I zap him in the face, well, I guess you're right.
And that's I can't wait to play the second one to see if it's true too, but that was the thing that always kind of I thought was funny about the first game is that there are these key story moments where it's like, don't you kill this guy. Tish is really mad at you. If you kill this guy, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Meanwhile, I can walk away from that story and the character and slaughter 500 people in the world. Nobody says a word.
Trish is all right. Right?
Yeah, I guess she didn't know about that. Yeah. Nobody bothered to tell her that killed everybody at the post office.
It didn't get the news coverage about the post office slaughter.
Yeah.
It didn't get the news coverage. It's all about the liberal media.
Right.
And their own agenda.
They're
pro Cole, and if he goes on a static electricity bout through a park in the middle of the swampland, people don't care. They don't want to hear about that. But if he goes after a post office, that's a government agency, my friend. You know, those are heroes.
Well, you can't go inside. So
yeah, for those people who have listened to this show from the very beginning, they know that I guess evidently inadvertently told jokes that attack the postal community, and I received a letter. A very harsh letter from a
gentleman.
Yeah,
we'll talk about the history in a second. Funny about this, guys. The other thing that I like about it, and this is a compliment, is that it feels a little like a theme park at times where they do a good job of bringing, and I think any open world game does this, like Red Dead Redemption. You're running around on your back of your horse, and it's like a freaking freeway system of animals out there. You're supposed to be all alone in the wilderness, and there are two bunnies and a whole herd of antelopes and 60 crows. I'm like, I thought we were out in the middle of nowhere.
Isn't it always how it worked out that when you needed a fur?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've got to figure out some contract. I was angry about that side mission when I found out. Oh, I'm supposed to be collecting these, not just selling them to the local shop? Because I've had 50,000 of these things that I've found. Heads up, by the way.
But now you don't need them.
Now I don't need them. And then, what's that? You need a grizzly bear fur? Okay. Well, remember last week when I was accidentally mauled by 13 grizzlies just from crossing a river? Now that I need a bear, nowhere to be found.
No, not around.
They know. They're like, hey, guys, the bounty hunter, he's after us now. He's done with the Mexicans. Now he's coming for us.
It's very hard to jump between Infamous 2 and Red Dead Redemption. They are very different games. It's like driving two different cars because the first I had been playing Red Dead and then I picked up Infamous 2 and I'm like, he's out of control. He's just running into walls and hitting stuff. I'm like, I don't know how to aim. It took me a while though.
Where's
okay.
his horse?
Yeah, and that's it. I'm like, I want to get over there. Oh, that's just bringing up a scope. Don't press down on the D-pad. That's not helping it out.
That's funny. Could you throw a car in the first game? Because I really enjoyed doing that. I don't remember being able to do that.
It wasn't throw. You couldn't pick it up, but you could blast stuff.
Oh, that. What I'm saying is I like picking up a car and just walking around
with it and then chucking it.
I'm not proud of it, but I've amused myself while playing the game by picking up a car and just walking through the streets and in my mind thinking that it's me going, hey, how's it going?
That's a place.
Like winking at chicks. fixed.
I've got a car.
What? Oh, the Impala? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just lift them. I just lift them with my head and my hands.
That's one of the ones where you can never get in trouble for killing somebody in a car because there are people driving these cars. Yeah. You could pick a car. I did this. I'm like, am I going to get in trouble? I picked a car up that was driving towards me.
Threw it at a chopper?
Threw it into the lake. Just watched it sail. Got an award for chucking it super far and watched it splash down. No mention of karma. No red flash. Nothing. Because it only counts as a car. That's the stuff that I love.
Stuff like that always amuses me way more than it ever should.
It reminds me of the Super Bowl back in
01. It's so much more fun than being able to just shoot somebody in the face with a lightning bolt to me. It's just the idea of the skit that plays out in my head of the guy going, oh, I'm late for work. This is crap. Yeah. I'm living in this post-apocalyptic world. The news is telling me there's a beast that's less than 1,000 miles away. That's not going to be fun when he gets here. But, you know, the rents are crazy in Texas. I'm never going to. What the hell? What? My car's flowing. Oh, my God.
Skipperlash.
Now I'm in a lake. Well, this isn't a good day.
Hope I respawn as something cooler. That's the other thing that makes me laugh about Numeris is that people are walking around with drinks and stuff. I'm like, I thought you all were super bummed out in a post-apocalyptic world.
Even a post-apocalyptic world has 18 Starbucks.
I wish. Well, they're clearly Starbuckses. Like drinks because you can walk around in New Orleans with open alcoholic beverages on the streets.
Oh, they're like booze?
Yeah, clearly booze.
Well, Kevin, everybody knows that in hard times, bars make more money than anything.
But that's the other thing that I wish that I expected and I realized when I wandered around the city. I'm like, oh, it's missing music coming out of buildings because if you've been to New Orleans, that's a very much a part of the environment.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Like you're walking by.
And just
like
your
a bar.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of noise. And I get why it's not there, but that I wondered if that was on an earlier rendition. What I was saying about the theme park is that I love that I can go to an area and then there are some people over here that need saving. They need you to medical heal them. And then you climb up on a wall and the other side of the wall are people going, "Wee hey Cole, wee hey Cole." And I'm like, this is just this like carnival of decisions to make right here. And I love walking with those people that are shouting.
I'm really excited when you have to break up the protests on the evil mission. I'm excited
that's what I'm
just
about,
like
yeah.
doing the force push on them.
Just knock them all down.
That'd be great. But you can't do the R2 and lift up a person. Only objects.
Yeah, it's only objects for
that'd be
reason.
So great to launch a person up like was it Roller Coaster Tycoon or whatever it was? You could just pick people up and drop them
off. You had a little claw. You just pick them up. Drop them in the water, and then they'd splash around, and then your tally, deaths in Park 1, deaths in Park 2, deaths in Park 3. Because you could kill people on the coasters if they were dangerous or bad. That was a solid, fun game. That was such a silly, dumb game. And, I thought that the better the graphics got, the more I'd like it. And it turns out I just wasn't into it. The more realistic the roller coasters in Roller Coaster Tycoon got, the less fun it was. And I got to see if there's a port on that on the iPad. I'm going to check that
out.
You
are welcome for that
Thank you. It was a good game. Remember, I was going to say back in the 2001, after the Super Bowl, after the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, we booted up the game when we decided to play it and play the Super Bowl again. And
oh, that's right.
We were in tears rolling off the couch, literally, because at every snap, we were just taking all the characters and running around the end zone, doing whatever we wanted with them and waiting till the clock ran out and then getting a 10-yard penalty.
Yeah.
And we were retarded. We thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
Because, again, the skit that happens in my mind of all these people, millions of people watching for commercials. There's wives. There's fights about hors d'oeuvres in the Super Bowl. Right. And these guys are like,
running laps around the goalposts, tripping over the linemen. Oh, that was so funny.
That was right. Hitting the dive button to pretend to trip. that was awesome.
And then getting offsides on it.
Oh, is that
now,
my son?
Now a word from your older son. Uh-oh. Your oldest son.
My wife
is good.
We've been doing this for 3 years now, and now she decides to not talk, and she tries to say, "You mouth that," like just mouth it, like I know what that means. If she goes,
"What are you trying to say, Natalie?"
She wants me to take the stroller downstairs.
Oh, got it.
Can we
hit pause?
And we'll
more
come
after
back
this.
With emails.
Yep.
All right. And we're back.
No music this time, though. That's how you know it's been a break.
Boom.
Bam. It
happened.
How was that?
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we wanted to talk about, I don't think anybody really cares about this, but for anybody who did, my wife gave birth to an 8-pound, 21-inch baby boy who is named Jack Thomas Worsham now. he came out kind of disgruntled with a furrowed brow. Like, he was just like, what's going on? And so we were kicking around the names, and I said, oh, I like the name Jack, but I don't know if I like it for a baby or a kid, but it sounds like a great guy's name, just simply like Jack, you know?
Jack.
I just went up downstairs, and I'm more out of breath than I'm
Do you want me to talk for a little while?
No. So I just want to explain why I'm sounding passionate about explaining.
Jack.
Jack. Like, I'm sounding like old Cole. Like, we named him Jack. Which, by the way, I was listening.
It's very Klingon of you.
But anyway, my wife said, well, he'd kind of look like a disgruntled old man when he came out. I was like, that's a solid point. That's all it took.
Who told you that?
Natalie did, my wife.
Got it.
And because the name was kind of growing on us. They said, but what I don't like about it is that it doesn't feel like it's a good answer. Like, Jacob was named Jacob because we had narrowed it down between Josh and Jacob. And when he wouldn't eat in the middle of the night on the first night because we were stupid parents. If you ever have a kid and your kid, when you're in the hospital, if he just wants to sleep, okay, and there isn't a nurse who's telling you, listen, this kid is very low in weight, blah, blah, blah. But if he's just a regular kid, comes out, everything's fine, and he just wants to sleep, let him sleep. Yeah. Don't listen to a book that tells you he has to eat in the first hour and a half.
Yeah, let him sleep.
Let him sleep. Because he'll be fine, and then you could be well-rested. But we were trying to, and then my wife didn't know how to breastfeed or whatever, so she's trying to figure it out, blah, 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 blah. Which, again, also, if you have kids, it gives you the freedom to talk about more about your personal anatomy and your spouse's anatomy than should ever be acceptable.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I've heard more about your chasty kneecaps than I ever would like to.
My who?
Chasty kneecaps.
What does that mean?
Your kneecaps?
Oh, got
chased.
It. My chasty ones. I got it now. So, anyway. I just got it. Anyway, so, what was I saying? Oh, so when I looked up while she was trying to feed him, I looked up the meaning of the names because I was like, well, let's look up the meaning. Let's see what that means. So Josh is healer of God and Jacob means to supplant or undermine. And so I'm like, well, he's definitely not a healer right now. He's more of a twerp. So Jacob it is. And we're like, done. And so we didn't have that moment until my wife said he looked like an angry old man when he came out. I was like, yeah, that's a solid, like, even
from
when he
cradle
sleeps,
to grave.
Yeah, even when he sleeps, see, I'm very curious because Jacob is so happy and fun and playful, and I truly do believe that Jack will have the same temperament, but it's like, it's just interesting to me because
he might be the serious one.
I like that. I mean,
he might be the grounded baby.
I just don't want him to be sad or angry, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that to be his life, but he could be a little bit more like, I imagine it being a little more quiet and just chill, reserved, I guess. Yeah. But when he sleeps, he just has a furrowed brow that I think he gets from my side of the family. Just like,
Has Jacob cast him to be the villain in any games that he plays? Like,
no, Jacob just
Spider-Man
loves him.
And Venom, no. Or
nothing but love and everything. He is cute. He is amazing. I'm imagining this will change once he can move.
But
there's one little
eat his food or distract him.
There's one little weird thing that's going on that you'll know. My wife bought. There's a friend of ours from high school makes blankets, blah blah blah, and so she gave us as a gift a blanket for Jacob, and so we bought a blanket from her for our second son. Yeah. And it's a little bit bigger than the one she gave Jacob, but because it's new and it's soft, and my son loves everything soft,
always
keeps grabbing Jack's blanket and walking around with it. And I'm like, no, that's for Jack. That's
Jack.
We bought Jack a blanket, so he's not going to use any of your four other blankets. Most entitled kid you'll ever come across.
No.
Really?
There are worse.
All right. Maybe it'll get even better. I hope it gets better. I can instill more values in him when he gets older, but he just thinks things just come to him. And I don't even give him everything
he
wants.
It's a good thing he's not being raised by your father.
My father would take things away from him to crush his spirit. I'm very curious to see if my son grows up with no self-esteem, which would be great. That would be mission accomplished, to grow up with no self-esteem issues whatsoever. Just to be happy in his own skin.
Be a real person.
Yeah, not have to pay a professional for 3 months of your life to figure out.
He'd be the first. Well, Justin is the co-host of the Dad's Podcast. Yeah. It's available.
There's a little teaser for you.
Where can we
get
that?
Little teaser.
So that was what you wanted to play. I wanted to play a commercial that a couple of my friends are in. We'll post this online as well. So take a listen. Oh, am I not up?
Green Lantern, huh?
They're in a comic book store.
I never understood why they brought Hal back. I mean, Kyle was just coming into his own as a character. All Hal has going for him is that he's ambitious. But I mean, what's so great about ambition? Seriously, I think people who know how to relax are the real heroes.
Jack.
You know, I prefer a guy who's not afraid to tell the world, hey, I'm going to take a few plays off today. Like, what's the big deal with moving out of the house when you grow up? Luke Skywalker didn't go searching the galaxy for his destiny. He lived with his aunt and uncle, and the Force found him. Well, see you next week.
She's been talking to a nerdy guy in the comic book store. He turns and looks to the boss, and the boss turns to him the computer that shows a website called Lock It Down. GottaLockThatDown.com. So he's going to go buy an engagement ring.
For her?
Yeah. Gotta lock that down.
You know what's funny is that we've talked about it even with, like, Mia and stuff with lady gamers and everything that... Like, I think most of us would be like, oh, that's got to be the chick. I feel like that's an unfair representation of that chick.
Of that kind of girl? Yeah, it's not, it's a little...
It's like they took what every man pretends to complain about his wife being, and that, oh, they're just chatty, they just want to talk, I just want to sit and drink a cold beer in the corner and smoke a cigarette and not have to look at my kids, you know? Like, that guy, what he says about it, they made that version where she's like, blah, 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 blah.
No, because
blah, blah, blah.
The thing she's saying, first she schools him on Green Lantern, she's got an opinion.
Yeah.
Then she goes on to say that you don't have to have ambition and you can still live with your parents, thus insinuating that he still lives with his parents. And then wraps it up with a very insightful Star Wars reference, and then wishes him goodbye. Like, it's clearly they're trying to say she's made.
She's
for him.
The perfect.
She's
one.
The perfect one for you. Gotta lock that down.
Gotta lock that down.
.com.
Get a ring. Is that where you got your ring?
No, I don't think they really sell jewelry. They just.
Oh, is that like a parody?
No, it's a website.
Okay. It's like, is it a parody commercial?
Yeah.
So, can we move on to topic number two? Yeah.
Yeah. Infamous 2. We love the game.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yay. Nate Fox, you are the man.
And I also love the grown-up version of the Sucker Punch logo.
Yeah.
And now, Justin.
So, we've gotten a couple of emails and or messages on Facebook about how to make a podcast. So, we figured, why not lay it down so that anytime says we can go to episode 325, listen to about 30 minutes of Infamous 2, and then you can have your answer.
So let me be a little self-indulgent. You first approached me, Kevin Miller, about doing a podcast.
Who are you again?
I'm Kevin Miller.
I got it.
And
are you Kevin Miller in this whole story?
Yeah, the whole story from beginning to end. Don't interrupt the Kevin Miller stories.
What if I want to be the early adopter of interrupting? Do you have any respect for that?
Let's see. Be the early interrupter of argument.
Yeah, I think this is a good idea.
Yeah. My idea.
I found it hard that I can't just sit here now. I got to really commit to it.
And interrupt me the whole
time. Yeah, I got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just going to reach over.
Can't reach it. I won't even let you do that. Interrupt. I like this early adopting thing.
Yeah, it's not
awesome.
Really
early adopting.
That's it. I'm going to play this
commercial
again. All right,
enough of that
again.
Bit. Should have locked it down with me.
Interrupting cow. Moo.
All right. So,
you approached
Kevin
me
Miller.
And you said, let's do this podcast. If you remember the first night we had it planned, I forgot we had it planned. And I came over. I was like, hey, what are you guys doing tonight? You said, I thought we were doing a podcast. That's right. I'll be right over. See you soon. So here we are, 2.5 years later.
Yeah.
A lot has happened in that time. How do you feel about, like, are we where you thought we'd be when
no.
we started?
No, I thought it would be the same format, but I like this much better. Mm-hmm. I like, it's a lot better. I feel much more comfortable doing it. Like, in the beginning, the show was a little bit, I guess, for me to be self-indulgent. Like, it was more about my life. It was about what I was going on.
Because listen to episode 7 if you want to hear 45 minutes of your life at the time.
What I was going for is I thought, what if I did a morning, like a radio show, the way I would want to do a radio show. I wasn't even thinking morning show, because that to me implies like a certain like fast pace, energy drops, you know, that kind of thing. And that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to be a nobody, essentially, that people found compelling or interesting. And I thought that would be a nice way for people who saw me doing stand-up, thought I was interesting, that they could keep in touch with what's going on. And then it was, and from a marketing standpoint, it provided sticky content. What was intended, the podcast, was to be sticky content to my website. But what it became was, and more applicable, is that it was sticky content to me. It was a weekly reminder of, oh, yeah, that's right, Justin Warsham, I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So and I like the idea of doing it with you, of course, because you're my best friend and we are funny together.
Yeah.
And we never had a chance. Every time we would do something together, like comedy sports or even working at the Nickelodeon show at the theme park, or even then going and doing Nickelodeon shows on the road where there were two host shows, they would never put you and I together.
Except for once in Hawaii.
Right. Once in Hawaii. And we did a couple of comedy sports shows, but it was
very
a
rarely.
Thing where they made a choice to not do it, which they always thought it was funny. because we always had such a great relationship. But they were like, well, it was almost like I felt like they said the show couldn't handle it. And I'm not saying our talent.
You're talking about Nickelodeon or Comedy Sports?
I think with Comedy Sports, it was more, more mathematical in that we had to split these guys up because they'd been around a few years.
But then we did it to ourselves when we started the troupe that you spearheaded.
We had to. That was the worst part about it. Exactly. Was that I had to do the same thing because I had a bunch of new people. Yeah. And then, so now we had to split it up. Because I had started an improv theater company in Modesto when I moved back home to Modesto. And then Kevin would come out and do shows with us and workshops and everything like that. So
and we just waved to each other from the other side of the room.
Exactly. Laughing. I laughed a lot at you. I don't know
Likewise.
If you laughed at me.
Always.
But I always
every time.
Yeah.
Every time. So the format, and we've gotten this question a few times from people that wanted to do a podcast. So there is a point. This isn't completely self-indulgent. If you're entertaining the idea of doing a podcast, what would be your advice to that person, Justin, about the about format, about content?
My advice would be, because everything that you read tells you to come up with a format and a like this is what I'm going to do. And they say, okay, the first 20 minutes is I'm going to talk about this. And then the next 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about this. Now, I think personally, but I think this also is against my style, is that I think that that's not necessary.
Yeah.
That I think the way I like to do it is I like things to happen organically. Mm. So talk about what you want to talk about. And then what will happen in the sense of the show is that all of a sudden an audience will find you, and then they'll tell you what they want you to talk about.
Exactly.
And as long as you're okay with that, then great. I mean,
because the honest truth is, even though you're on the internet and you are broadcasting to people, you can do the same thing with a blog. You can start writing a blog. It doesn't mean anybody's going to be reading it.
Yeah.
Just because you put it up there doesn't mean you have an audience. So the truth and why I think that we have any sort of why I enjoy talking about our podcast to people is the fact that we've done it consistently for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
We've inspired a lot of our friends and other people to do a podcast, and they've done a couple episodes because they realize that
it's always such a weird compliment. Because I always feel like it's like if these two yahoos can do it.
But it's the truth is that, you know, showing up is half the battle, and we show up and we record every week. So the fact that we chose to do it on a consistent basis, I think is more important than the fact that we knew what we were doing
earlier this week.
Exactly.
And here we are.
Still.
2 days late, but whatever.
Whatever. Did you make a podcast this week?
Suck it.
That's right.
Why are we angry?
Because
I made life.
Sorry. You wanted to listen.
Yeah.
You didn't have to download this podcast.
Yeah.
You chose to.
Yeah.
You're great. Thanks for doing that. These are compliments in an angry form. We appreciate your download. Guy or girl?
I'm really hung up on this idea of CompuSults. Albert Brooks? You know, he's the comic, right? Who was the voice of Nemo? Albert Brooks. Yeah.
All these things you're saying are
so
words.
Albert Brooks wrote a book, and I heard him on Adam Carolla's podcast, and he goes, they were talking about people talking to you about the show. And how you get there? He goes, they can only compliment you for so long before these compliments start to turn into insults. You know? So that's what I felt like you were doing. Was like you were.
We did that just now about Infamous. Oh, it's so good! It's so good! It's so great, except for this.
Yeah, except for this.
Yes. You didn't do that. I did that.
Yeah,
but you make it a sandwich, a criticism sandwich, where it's constructive, then negative, then constructive.
Well, people couldn't help but do it about my kid too, which I thought was funny about the name of my child. Where it's like I just thought it was funny. Like, it made me laugh. But I think somebody said, oh, the other one's named Jacob. There it is.
Jacob.
They were right. I was wrong.
Yep.
One's named Jacob. The other one's named Jack. I'm sure that won't lead to any confusion.
Thanks a lot, Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob.
But, I'm sorry. I'm taking us off track. So that right there was essentially what the show was. It was
just a conversation. If you listen back to the older episodes, most of them are still available. We would start 12 conversations and then spend within the first 3 minutes and then spend the next hour, no, 2 hours. Weren't we doing 2 hour long episodes back then?
Oh, yeah, for a while.
And then trying to dial.
At least an hour and a half.
Yeah, trying to unpack all the conversations that we had just started.
Yeah, that was the first criticism that we got was that, they talk about 8 different things and never finish the first thing kind of thing. So then we would take notes. Remember, and then towards like the last 20 minutes, we go, okay, we wrapped up that. We wrapped up that.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your opinions? How did pancake making go today? Check. Done talking about pancakes? What happened at the zoo?
And so the show initially was about us. I guess I tried to make it about comedians talking.
Which we had a lot of those.
We had a lot of comics that I worked with on the road and stuff like that or liked. And then when I realized that the show, I enjoyed doing it, but it wasn't really supporting the brand of my stand-up, which meant it wasn't fulfilling the purpose that I needed it to do, But it wasn't like, well, sorry, Kevin, I don't want to do the show, because I thoroughly like doing the show. Yeah, so yeah. I was like, so I started doing the dad podcast, and that's one that is like, it's almost parallel to my stand-up at this point, yeah. Especially. That's pretty much all I talk about. So I'm like, oh, that's working out great. And then I think it was about the time that we went to go interview Dave Ball from Survivor, who was a friend of mine before he was on Survivor. And I loved the show, so I thought, oh, this will be fun.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
That you kind of said, well, you know, when we talk about the comics, like, I feel like I'm just kind of pushed off to the side or whatever. And I said, well, let's do whatever it is that you want to do with the show. And so we had like a little bit of a limbo. And then we literally, this show came about when Steven sent us an email and saying, hey, I found the show because I was Googling information on Sly 4 and thought it would be cool if you guys got, you know, Bentley and Murray on the show. So I was like, I sent you an email and said, hey, can this happen? And you said, yeah, I can talk to the guys. So worked out. And then all of a sudden, Steven went to all the message boards associated with Sly, Sucker Punch, and everything. And then through Google searches and through that promotion, all of a sudden, our audience more than tripled. And then so then you came and said, you know, hey, I like this idea. I like the idea of doing a show about video games. So I was like, I love playing them. I'm not as much of an expert on it as you. But it kind of, what I like about the show, I shouldn't say like, I honestly love about the show now is it created what I wanted a radio show to be for me personally. Because when I was a kid, I always loved Loveline. Like, I always loved that, the dynamic and the fun of the show. I like the psychology behind it. And I feel like we kind of have this dynamic where you're the expert and I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I get it. Like, I'm Adam, I think Carolla was interested in the aspects of relationship and psychology, but he wasn't an expert. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I think you know tons of stuff about video games. You know the names of the people. You know what started it. You know tons of stuff about even like comic books and all that, which is a world that I appreciate and enjoy, but it's not a world I came from,
right,
if that
right.
makes sense.
Totally.
You know? So that's what I really love, this new dynamic, and I love
and I
how...
Think, and if you go back and listen to it, I think it was episode 304 where we started talking about Sly Cooper 4.
That's the first one, yeah.
And the first half of that episode is how we've done every episode since before that, and then halfway through that episode, we started talking about video games, and that was kind of the beginning of the new Second Funniest podcast, and we'd never look back. And the reason why I think it's valid to bring all of this up is to say that it took us 2 years and many conversations about what our show is going to be about before we knew, oh, this is what it's about.
And you can have, that's what I don't like about the PDF things that I read online or whatever about you got to come up with a format, is that I think it's really hard for you to sit down and go, unless you have, like, and here's the thing, unless you have this ambition to be vague. Like,
one wants to do, unless you're David Letterman, you know, unless you're an established personality, it's not, you know, you were attempting to do that, which is why we were doing it on the show. You were working to be an established personality.
Yes.
But now people don't want to, unless they knew you, those were our biggest fans, were people who knew you and I.
Knew us, yeah.
Yeah, and they felt like they were getting to hang out with us, but that is not marketable unless you had landed a sitcom or something.
Because you have to be the reason that... And a lot of it came because of your fame from doing the voice of Sly.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So there is a little bit of that. But what's interesting to me is that now we found content that we're passionate about. And then we have a really cool community of people that we talk through via Twitter, via Facebook. Yeah. And that's what I like about it. That's what you have to have. You have to have something where you can find a group of people that have a similar mind, and then they come together, and that's how you could build an audience. Now, here's the other thing I will tell you, is that there was an aspect at a given time, especially when I was going to have a kid, and then I was having a hard time paying rent with stand-up, and my wife's job was going rough, that I'm like, I got to monetize this thing. I got to find a way to make money. I cannot tell you enough that if you want to do a podcast, don't do it to make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you will most likely never make money.
Or to be famous. Like, it's got to be because you do it because you want to do it.
It has to be something, and I know this sounds so cliche, and I've heard people say these words to me all the time, and it used to frustrate the hell out of me, but now I understand it is that you have to do it because you would be doing it even if they didn't pay you. You have to, even if you weren't getting paid, you would still be doing it because, like, if you have to feel that and passionate about it. Like, somebody even wrote in recently about how they want to talk about video games and movies and stuff like that. And if that's what you chat about with your friends, then do it.
Exactly.
And you'll find your feet. Like, don't beat yourself up if the first, you know, I mean, I think they're available. I don't even know. But if the first four episodes, like you had talked about, were just so scattered, and yeah. they were everywhere.
First one was solid.
Yeah.
Third one was a little
shaky.
Was
rough? Was that the one with Natalie? Is that why? Or
maybe. Oh, maybe not. Maybe no, was Natalie Darren. Was four. I don't remember. I think third was just you and I. Maybe. I don't remember.
But you hit this point where, oh, man, so many things are going through my head. But anyway, you'll find your feet, and even I don't even think that we've necessarily found our feet. We found our niche.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we figured out this is exactly what the brand of this show is, mm-hmm. and this is how it's always going to be. Like, it's always going to be growing. The other suggestion I would say, and I've read this about podcasts, is that, you know, you want to get a name for the show, and then you want to get a website for the show. Don't go out and buy that URL for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, exactly. Feel free to wait, because that could be money that's just wasted.
Yep. I think you're going to change the name. You're going to find a new format.
Exactly.
So the point of all this is, just like anything, if you want to be an actor, if you want to, we've talked about this, you want to be a voice actor in games, mm-hmm. you want to be an artist, you want to be a game developer, do all the stuff about that first. Don't yeah. worry about all of the trimmings. And mm-hmm. in this case, it's the website, the URL. Yeah. If you're an actor, don't worry about getting your demo together or building your website or shooting all your headshots before you've actually worked on your craft. Put mm-hmm. your craft together. And so podcast, same thing. Make a podcast.
I think you have to, if entertainment is the world you want to be in, I highly recommend, personally, because it saved my life, it's financially, is check out Dave Ramsey's book, Total Money Makeover. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to live a debt-free lifestyle and to live within your means, which is very simple. You can do it. I mean, if you send me an email, I could easily explain it to you. But I think it's worth, or you know what, the way to go, if you listen to podcasts, listen to his podcast. He gives a free hour of his radio show. And because you have to learn how to live within your means and know that you're going to have to do a lot of stuff for free before you get paid.
Absolutely.
There's a ton of work, and that's why the money usually is a large sum. You know, like I just did that
exactly.
Drive Time commercial, and it's on the bottom rung of commercials or whatever, but I got $3,000 to do that commercial, wow. which is a nice paycheck for a 14-hour workday.
How many auditions did you go
exactly.
on? How many other things
that's
did you
what
do?
You're also, if you put in those hours, you know what I mean? You put in even the hours of this podcast or whatever. Jeez. You know what I mean? That we do for free, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So or the gear that you need to audition and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, having said all that, I think we need to go through what, in my opinion, are the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, give them the technical breakdown. Yeah. How do we make a podcast?
First thing is you need to know how many people you are going to have on your show potentially. So if it's going to be just you, that's cake. If it's going to be you and a buddy...
But Justin, can I just open up my laptop and record into the microphone on my laptop?
You can. I don't think it's as good. Like, I don't think it sounds as good, and it's not as flexible because that's also out of my personal realm.
Yeah.
If you know how to work, like, say, a GarageBand or an Audacity, like you're a madman about it, then yeah, you could do it.
But even then, if you record with the microphone on your laptop, you're still going to get a ton of room noise.
Yeah.
And it'll sound a little something like this.
Yes.
Where the microphone is about 3 or 4 feet away from yes. everybody's ears.
Yes.
Whereas we're on microphones.
And we're about a half inch away from the end of the
sometimes microphone. Right inside of it.
Yes. And I think that you, in my personal, like, there's a way to do it for free, but I think, whoa, man, so many things going on.
Exactly. This is why we didn't write an essay.
You can't do it into the laptop. I like the idea of using, it's almost the same as doing like a radio show. Instead of it going out over the airways, it goes into a recorder. So here's the equipment that we use for the Second Funniest Podcast. I have a Behringer Zenix board 1202. It has four mic inputs and four stereo inputs, what they call them. Now that's where we run the laptop off of, and Kevin's iPad will come in with other audio stuff, and it's got a main out that goes into our recorder.
It's about 10 inches by 10 inches, and yeah. How much does that board run you?
$75 on Amazon.com. You could probably get it even cheaper used on eBay or something along those lines. And the reason I like the mixer is because it gives me the tangible freedom that I don't know how to manipulate in a software situation.
Yeah, you can actually touch
and
move the knobs.
It also frees up my laptop to be used for production aspects, because you can record the show. Like, you could record segments. Like, say you want to talk about Infamous 2 for 10 minutes, and then you want to play a little soundbite, and then you're going to talk about, I don't know, L.A. Noir for another 10 minutes. You know what I mean? That's how you want to do your show.
Yep.
You could record all that and then put it in post in like a GarageBand or Audacity, whatever it is you want to use audio-wise. I like the idea of doing it live because that's my background. Yep. Like, it was live theater. Concerts, stuff like that.
So to get the sound from your laptop and the record of the mics, which we'll talk about in a minute, what kind of cables do we need here?
I have three or four what they call quarter-inch male to eighth-inch male cables, and they're about 3 feet long.
Because we're on a table. You don't need 18 feet of this stuff.
You could get them for probably $6 or $7 a pop on Amazon.com. And what you want is the quarter-inch male. It's a Y adapter, they call it, because it has two outputs going into a stereo input to the laptop. So it's two quarter-inch that have it. You could tell they're mono because I'm getting into real technical
this
stuff.
This is great.
But it has a single black band on it. That means it's mono, singular channel. So even though like you can hear it through, it would essentially, if this was to go out in stereo and then you had a mono channel, you would hear it in your left ear only, okay?
Yep.
So it takes a two-channel output from a board or input from a board, and it puts it into a two-band stereo eighth-inch or AKA headphone jack that you plug into your laptop. And then I take the same cable and I plug into the quarter-inch outputs on the mixer, and I plug it into the line in on my recorder. I have an Olympus LS10 digital voice recorder.
And this is the same sort of recorder that you can, you've seen people like take memos, say, hey, my name is whatever.
That's what we used to use. Mm-hmm. Those are like maybe $100. You could get a little USB flash drive digital voice recorder, and you could still do the show through that. It's not going to have the same, what they call frequency, like the rounded sound that this one does. But you could definitely do it with that, and I would definitely start there, unless you're like, I've got $600 that I just want to blow on doing a podcast.
I got my tax refund.
Exactly. I'm independently wealthy, and I don't care about that stuff. Then, yeah, go for the Olympus LS10. If not, go to Olympus.com, find a more cost-effective model, or you can just search for Olympus recorders, because I know those are good, and they give you some options. And if you want to say, hey, is this one what you're talking about, then send me an email. Go for it. That's fine.
Do it. Don't not send him not emails.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I also don't worry. A lot of people talk about on podcasts, and you may, if you listen to the show and you're like, listen, I've heard other shows that have better audio quality, send them an email and say, hey, what do you guys use? But I just use cheap, what they're called, Shure, S-H-U-R-E, PG-48 microphones. It's the low-end vocal microphone. And in there, you can get a pack of three of them for $100. So that's individually, great. I think they're about $40. So they obviously discount it for the pack.
And the cable on these looks different than what I'm used to. What is this cable?
That's an XLR cable that goes into the board and into the mic.
What does XLR stand for?
I have no idea.
Really?
I don't remember.
X is ground, L and R, left and right channels. Okay. Yeah.
So what I did is the microphones themselves come with a 25-foot cable. I eventually bought 3-foot XLR cables because they're...
And this
about
is
$6 a piece.
Male and male, or what are they?
That's male to female.
Because
you need to go, the male goes into the microphone, the female goes into the board. But anyway, you could get the shorter, just so you don't have a ton of cables all over your table. But again, if you're trying to save money, just buy the mic. It'll come with the cable, plug it into your mixer, boom, you're done. And I think that's it. Now, as far as getting it out on the internet, because everybody asks the question, how do you get it on iTunes and all of that? What you do is, the best way, in my opinion... there's two ways, actually. If you don't mind...
What's the worst way? Start with the worst
way.
The
worst way?
What's the way you would not do it?
The way I would not do it. Ooh, that's a good question. The way I would not do it is YouTube. That is, honestly.
Good job.
I would not do it with YouTube because a lot of times the audio sounds horrible and it's not what you're not going to be able to submit it to iTunes. It's not going to do you any good. I mean, it's nice because like I've had friends, Christian, who I know listens to the show and comments a lot on our Facebook. He has ways of he suggested that we put stuff up on YouTube because it's more accessible than, say, podcasting is. I mean, the record, and I've recently heard that I may be wrong on the stats, but the record for the most downloaded podcast belongs to Adam Carolla right now, and it's somewhere around 300,000 to 350,000 downloads on a given episode, which if you think about it, that's not a lot of people.
Yeah, that's not impressive.
A global community, you know what I mean? That's not a ton of people where you're a good sitcom on a network probably has at least 1 million people. You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh. If it doesn't have 1 million, it's not on the air.
Exactly. So that to me is like, really, you hold the record with just a little over 250,000. But anyway, so the way I would do, if you want to not spend money, then you have to create like a Blogger or WordPress account to generate an RSS feed. You're going to have to do some Googling because I don't know the nuts and bolts of that. And then you're going to use Our Media, O-U-R Media, or I think it's also archive.net is the same thing. And what that is, it's a free service that you could upload media files that you link to. And then you go to your WordPress or your Blogger account and you link to the media file. And then that essentially generates an RSS feed that iTunes can grab. Now, before you do any of this, to or while you're doing any of this, what I would also do is go to FeedBurner, which is a Google thing. But if you just do a Google search for FeedBurner, it'll come up. And that's a service that what FeedBurner does, and it's an older service that I might be becoming a little antiquated. But it does, it kind of creates a catch-all and generates an address and makes everything kind of user-friendly for iTunes and Zune and all the other podcast directories. And what I do is that I make FeedBurner kind of like a P.O. box for the podcast. So even if I'm moving around town, I can always have a P.O. box and it doesn't move. And so my address really never has to change for people, right? So FeedBurner is my P.O. box. It generates an RSS web address that I could just have. Now, when I was doing the Our Media and the archive.net stuff, I would and the Blogger account, FeedBurner would grab all the shows from the Blogger account. Well, I recently changed to Libsyn, which is the best way to go for a podcast, but you have to pay money for their service, and that's spelled Libsyn.com, and it's about, I'm guessing, $12 a month for their smaller package, and it increases with value depending on how long you want your show to be and how often you want to do it. What they do is they give you a limit as far as megabytes. Now, what we have for the Second Funniest Podcast is a 250 megabyte. Is this interesting?
Yep, hit okay, it. Good. Finish it up.
A 250 megabyte block, a quota, if you would, that we can use in a 30-day period, and we have unlimited bandwidth and all that through Libsyn. Okay. Now, at the end of that 30 days, because each episode is about 40 megabytes. So if you're doing the math, we're about 160 megabytes. So we're short 100. And that's if we want to do a bonus episode or something like that. It's easier for us to just throw it up there. Now, at the end of that 30 days, that 250 megabyte quota resets.
Oh.
So every 30 days, we can upload a new 250 megabytes. Now, you're not limited from traffic. You're not limited bandwidth, anything like that. But I mean, if you start getting Adam Carolla type numbers, then they're going to come to you and they're going to say, okay, we need to get you a designated server.
Yeah,
and that's going to cost you a little bit more money kind of thing. Cause you have this humongous amount of people grabbing your show. No. Whoa, what just happened?
Oh, I was hoping for our old theme song.
Thanks for listening to,
I can give you that.
This is the pre-show.
Oh, this is
is that the first show?
No, I was trying to find the old theme song to play for you, but sorry. Go on.
Well, we used to just play like whatever songs were on my iTunes.
Yeah, but then I wanted
one of the two.
Yeah, I was looking for the two one.
I have that here somewhere if you want me to play.
Sorry, but I keep going.
So anyway, then you can where was I? Oh, so it gives you a 250 megabyte quota and all of that jazz, but you have to pay $12 a month for at least that 250 megabyte quota. And if you do less show, then you can probably, you know, finagle it down a little bit. If you do more, like you want to do more show, then and with a certain price range, they'll also set up an app for you, which I don't know if that price is worth it. I'm doing some research into, because I remember when you download the developer kit for apps on the iPhone market specifically, that a podcast template is built into it, that all you got to do is drop in a few addresses and drop in an image, and then boom, you have a podcast app. But let's see, what is that? I think that answers all of the technical aspect of it. So,
can I make your mouth water? Kat and I are friends with Joy the Baker. She's a very famous blogger that has an excellent baking blog. And she decided to start doing a podcast, and she's told me the first day they put it up, she was eighth on the download list. And I said, How did you do that? And she says, I have a very famous blog. Gotta get one of those.
That's what you need. Well, and so and that's what I was going to say too, real quick, because I forgot, is that the reason I do these PG48 microphones is that you'll have guys that'll tell you to get a nice $400 microphone, and I'm sure it sounds amazing, but you end up compressing the hell out of the file to put it up on the internet so much that I personally don't think it's worth it. So compare what you think ours sounds to other shows. And do that. And if you like something better, go, hey, what are you guys doing? Now, as far as getting it submitted to iTunes and approved, what you have to do is you have to generate at least one show. Or I always had three shows before I submitted a feed. And then what I do is if you just do a search, submitting a podcast to iTunes, there's tons of, you'll find the link. Look for the one on Apple. It's not just something you could easily find in iTunes. Well, the way I remember it, there's like a secret back door that you got to do a little legwork just so it's not like anybody who's anybody can submit a podcast, even though anybody who's anybody can submit a podcast. So you have at least two or three episodes, because supposedly what happens is they have somebody that goes through to make sure you at least have content on there. And
then, that'd be awesome. The file's just
And then, no, I don't even think they check the actual content, just episodes in
just
general.
Make sure that there's sound.
And then they, and so what happens is I submit the feed burner URL as opposed to the one that Libsyn generates because, say, Libsyn goes out of business and, or say, they change their service. Now, the same thing could be said about FeedBurner, but that's Google. It seems like it's a little bit more of a present, not, and it's low maintenance on their part. Mm-hmm. So if Libsyn were to go out of business and that's the feed I submitted to iTunes, well, all of a sudden, I'm losing all my subscribers and I have to find a way to tell them, hey, go to this new place and hope that they all move over with me. Whereas when I had the FeedBurner submitted and I switched from Blogger to Libsyn, it didn't affect anybody subscribing through iTunes or the Zune Marketplace at all. Mm. The other thing I want to say, this is going real deep, is you import the episode and you do a little bit of cleanup, and you don't have to do this audio-wise, but I suggest it. And if you need help with that, I could do that. That's a little bit more involved and even above my pay grade. But you clean up the audio file, and then what I suggest you do is you always put it into an MP3 format. Now, you'll notice that you see artwork on ours, and if you have other podcasts that don't have artwork on them, the reason they don't have artwork on them is because the MP3 format isn't created to include the artwork in it. Now, I like that better than the just generic podcast logo that shows up there in your list of podcasts in iTunes or even on your iPod or iPhone or Droid or whatever. So what I do is I import it into iTunes and then use iTunes to create an MP3 version of each episode. So I generate it where it has, essentially I'm dropping a picture, because we used to also change pictures if we have pictures on the iPod of what we were talking about in that moment, and it seemed to be a lot of work that nobody really cared about, so we stopped doing
it. If I wanted to look at a picture, I'd go to a website or watch a TV.
Exactly. So, but if that's your thing, you're like, oh, I want to use that as a niche, then do it. You could do it in GarageBand, I know. I don't know of another way to do it for the PC version, but I can help you if you want to send me an email. So then you export it into iTunes, convert it into an MP3 file, drag that file out of iTunes and stick it somewhere either on Libsyn or submit it to Arbedia or archive.net. And there you go. Then all of a sudden you've generated an RSS feed that you submit the URL to iTunes. I don't know how to submit to the Zune Marketplace. Our show was put on the Zune Marketplace without us knowing.
So thank you, Zune listeners.
Yeah. And then there are other things now that are available that weren't before, like Stitcher is a new thing because we have a lot of listeners who listen on Stitcher, which is an app for a smartphone that you can have favorite podcasts. And they just updated their app where it used to be whatever your latest episode was, you would have to listen to. Now you can go back episodes. So essentially it's become its own iTunes that's portable and streaming. It's not actually downloaded on your phone. You stream it through your connection.
It's smaller.
Which is nice. And then there's also Slapdash Radio, which is essentially Stitcher for the Windows 7 phone. And
hard to say. Slapdash.
Yeah. So I think that's it. And then you know, people find the show. I think it's imperative to have a Facebook page, obviously. I mean, look at all the stuff we get to do.
We
and
have
build
like
the community that way.
385 likes.
Yeah, right?
What?
But what I like more than the numbers, I just like how much there's always content coming in from people, and there's always a conversation happening.
It's a community.
I feel guilty that I can't keep up all the time, but
how are we doing on time there?
We're over.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to. There was
Sorry if not everybody is stoked to hear all that and the technical details, but we get the question a lot.
Yeah,
and I actually
we've had at least five times that I know of through email and Facebook.
In this year.
Yeah,
And I guarantee once we name this episode, How to Make Your Own Podcast and Infamous 2, it'll be one of the higher downloaded episodes from people not in our community, because you get it a lot. Everybody wants to know how to do
it. One more thing I want to say is FeedBurner stats are horrible. Just throw those out the window. One of the things that makes Libsyn so sought after from podcasters is that their stats are unbeatable as far as any other service that I know of. There's also a great guy. I feel bad. I'm just giving you my personal opinion. Please take it with a grain of salt. But there's a great podcast called Podcast Answer Man. And this is a guy who just decided, I'm going to make a career out of podcasting because I love it so much. And he's got a lot of really cool ideas. But he also charges a lot of money to be a consultant. And personally, I don't think that anybody is at that level where it's worth it. But that's your own call.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was worth it for that. But I had a lot of stuff figured out on my own. But I did think he had some cool ideas. I hope that answers. If that doesn't answer your question, feel free to email us more.
Shut up and get out of here.
And unsubscribe, Jack Cole.
So next week, we'll do emails. I'll tell you about my adventures at E3. I touched
like
a PS Vita. I touched a PS Vita. I touched
what?
A PS Vita.
And maybe we'll hear from Jeremy at some point and tell us about the 3DS and why you should get it. Is that out of the market? I have no idea. Can I go buy the 3DS right now? You Why do we not know anybody that owns one? Oh, because we don't know Jeremy. Anybody that's 15.
Oh, oh, oh.
What, Jeremy?
I thought it was a joke.
Jeremy? give us the JK show.
Oh, you want that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You can still, we'll play us out with that, but here's a little sample from the archive.
Tran, a good buddy of ours, from the
Great America days, came on the show back when the show was named JK Show for the first episode. The first word out of the first episode was me saying sexy, and then we started recording. And then Justin asked me, what should we name the show? And I said, let's call it the JK Show. We're not calling it that. And that was the name it stuck with for a good year before we came up with the second funniest podcast. Oh, Runner-up name was Radio Playground. And have I ever told you this, that in Canada, there's a video game show called Digital Playground.
Yeah. Oh.
Had we gone with Radio Playground, we would have, like, Canadians would have gotten it because it's a recognized brand name.
Oh, that sucks. Yep. This is the original.
He played this live for us.
Hey, hey, hey. Yo, yo, yo. Everybody listen to the JK Show. It's very funny, I guarantee. You're gonna laugh until you pee. There's Justin Warsham and Kevin Miller. These guys are bona fide lady killers. But the good kind of lady killers, not the kind that actually kill ladies.
You're
it's the JK Show.
Yeah! And I'd always start with yeah. It always got me excited.
It was a great episode. That was a good time.
It was a long time ago.
Anyway, give us an email, show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, or give us a call, 408-228-4911. Next week, we will get to emails and voicemails. We have...
I touched the PS Vita, I touched the PS Vita, I touched the PS Vita, I touched the PS Vita.
We have 100 emails that we have to go through.
Most of them are just Twitter, but...
Yeah, well, it's just hard when I look at that and I go, oh boy, oh boy. Go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Please support our sponsors. Jeremy has already said that he'd done this, where if you get something through GameStop, go ahead and go... Go over to secondfunniestpodcast.com.
Take a picture of it? What?
Yeah, you take a picture and then of what you want so that you can remember, because you're going to have to take an extra step. You're going to go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, click on the GameStop banner, then look at your picture, then use that to guide you in what you're going to purchase.
Hey, by the way, I just realized we're on the table that we used to record all the time.
What?
Because we're upstairs.
That the very JK show theme song was sung at.
And the very first, 200 episodes were at this table.
I can't get rid of this table.
Yep.
Stupid.
It's part of the family. And for some reason, you have an extra dining room table in your bedroom.
I don't know what's going on.
You're a weird family.
This is supposed to be my desk now. Also, you could go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and get things from ThinkGeek. I just got an email that they're doing a huge summer sale, over 400 items that are 40% off. I think they're also doing, they have, if you're a fan of The Big Bang Theory, they have, Bazinga shirts. I don't know if those are included, but they have funny shirts that they're selling for $5 if you let them, a random. You just, I'll pay $5 for a random shirt in this size, and then they pick one out for you and send it to you.
They play Klingon Boggle on that show.
Really?
Yeah.
On that website, you mean?
No, on that show.
What show? Think Geek?
No, the other one.
Oh, on Digital Playground.
No, the other one. Did you just reference Big Bang Theory?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I was like, wait, did I make that up? Because I don't generally think about that show. So the fact that it popped into my head.
I love it so much. So that's it. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Warsham saying, okay, bye.